All right. Well, welcome, guys. We're here chatting with Hendo. He was, he is very instrumental in the Queensland Beer Awards. What's your role? I know you're on the advisory committee, but also
right. Yes. So
on the day you weren't doing that as well. You were doing a lot of things.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So the job title that they gave me was the Chairman of Judges for the Royal Queensland Beer Awards. So,
which was ironic because you didn't really sit down.
No.
You did a lot of walking.
No, I was walking around all the time. And that was actually the first time that I've been in the role of sort of like a head judge role. And so it was really new to me and I learned a lot. It was like, you know, because over the years I've gone through that progression. I started as a steward at the Australian International Beer Awards in, I think it was 2012. Then became an associate judge, then became a full judge, then became, you know, an international judge, and then a table captain at the Royal Queensland Beer Awards. I've been on the advisory committee for the Royal Queensland Beer Awards since it restarted in, I think, 2019, I think it was. And this year, you know, I've been a table captain, you know, all that time, but this year was the first year that I've become one of the chairman of judges, with Chris Sheehan being the other chief judge.
Yep.
And that was a lot of fun. It was new challenge.
Yep.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, new learnings and a lot of, like, it's some people stuff, and there's also advice giving and stuff like that, because I know I waved you down a couple of times
absolutely.
As well.
So my role in the judging process was to make sure there was good coordination between the judges and the stewards, first off, because a lot of the stewards had never stewarded before.
What's a steward?
Oh, have we not gone through the basics?
No.
Should we go through the basics?
How the
competition works?
Okay,
so when you have a beer competition, it's really important that there's a high level of integrity in the competition. So all the beers in a beer competition are judged blind, okay? So every judge doesn't know the brand and the name of the beer that they're judging.
Yeah, we get 4, 5, 6 beers in a glass.
That's right, yeah.
Just so with a number on them.
How it works is from a judge's perspective, sitting in the judge seat, you get a glass of beer, you know, your small little... a glass of beer, you know, maybe 50 odd mils of beer.
Yep.
You
like have a tasting pad or glass.
That's right. Yes. They have a name, but I don't know what they're
called. Yeah, I can't remember. Right.
And then you have the style guidelines. So there's 140 different styles of beer, according to the Brewers Association beer style guidelines. So the judge's job is basically to look at the liquid and work out how well it matches the style guidelines. So the style guidelines sets out what the beer is supposed to look like, what the beer is supposed to smell like, what the beer is supposed to taste like, what the beer is supposed to feel like, and then any specific things around that style that are unique in terms of giving it character. And so a judge's job is basically, there's a liquid, there's some words, how well does that liquid match the words, and are there any characteristics that would be considered to be off flavors. Now, it's really important to note that it's not the judge's job to solely pick out faults in the beer, but rather to basically match characteristics with the style, and then subsequently see if investigate as to whether there's any characteristics that would be considered to be off flavors or off aromas and that sort of thing.
There's two big things for me judging that I've learned is the first one, the flight. You don't compare beers to each other in the flight. That's got nothing to do with it, because one beer next to each other might taste so different.
Yes.
But in the style guidelines, they fit. That
Correct.
Example
yes.
fits and matches. And every beer on its own merit has to go to those guidelines.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's really, really important. Okay. So from a judge's perspective, you know, let's say this is a beer that I'm judging now. In fact, we can do a little exercise here. Let's assume that we're judging two beers out of the same style.
No worries.
And if we were to say, judging something like a Munich Helles, which in the style guidelines says that it's supposed to be not hazy, you know, supposed to be nice and bright, have good foam and that sort of thing.
Yep.
And if something like that, you know, rocked up, that is not a Munich Helles in reality. But if that was presented to me as a judge, as a Munich Helles, it would not score very well. Even though that beer is a really well-made beer, the fact that, which beer is that one, by the way?
This is Horizon.
That's
so
Horizon,
this is the
Hazy Pale Ale. Okay.
Hazy Pale, so it has less head than yours, because that's to the style, that's the what happens.
Exactly.
Because there's a lot more hops than the oils.
Correct. If we were judging a Munich Helles, right, that beer doesn't look like a Munich Helles.
Yes.
And it's certainly because of the hops that are in that Hazy Pale, it doesn't smell like a Munich Helles, and it doesn't taste and have the mouthfeel of a Munich Helles. Mm. But vice versa, if I was to put that beer into Hazy Pale Ale, it would also score poorly.
Yeah.
Right? Even though both of these beers are very well made, it's really important that the brewers enter their beer into the right style class.
Yeah.
And it's actually a really common mistake that a lot of novice professional brewers make when they enter competitions for the first time, is they don't read the style guidelines. And if you don't read the style guidelines...
In their mind, they've brewed a lager.
Exactly. They might have printed on their label, you know, a pale ale, but there's six or seven different pale ale style classes. And you've got to pick the right one. You know, you can't just blindly go, well, I brewed this to be an American pale ale. But then, is it? You know?
Yeah, because some are clear, some are hazy.
Correct.
You know, some are New World, which is like the new tropical sort of...
There's just a multitude of different characteristics. So, from a judge's perspective, a judge is sitting there. They don't know the brand or the name of the beer. They just know that this beer has been entered into this style class. There is a wall, and then on the other side is what they call the back of house area where the stewards are. And so the stewards are the people who tap the kegs or open the cans or bottles and that sort of thing. So they know
all the beers,
brands of the beers and all that sort of stuff. And they pour them into the glass. They put a judging order little label on the glass, and they bring them out from behind the wall and present them to the judges, right? Judges are not allowed, even in my role as chairman of judges, I was not allowed in the
past
back of house area. In fact, there was like a recycle bin that I wanted to put a bottle in, and I had to tap a steward on the side, can you please put that in the bin?
As
you
know, Josh
and
saw you.
Josh would come down on me like a ton of bricks. And so,
love you though, Josh.
You know, in a typical day of judging, you can judge anywhere from sort of 30 to 70 beers a day.
Yep.
That's a lot. You know, I've had some days where I've done around 70 beers. Mm. A lot of people think that
think it's amazing, right?
They think it's amazing. They think you get drunk and that sort of thing. You don't, because when I judge a beer, I'll maybe consume a tiny, tiny mouth. Because most of what I can determine from a beer comes from the appearance, the aroma, and a little bit of the flavour and body and mouth feel.
You tend to see if someone really enjoys that beer as a gold medal, because that beer is gone.
Yeah, exactly. I send most of my beer back.
100%, me too.
And if you go to, when I judge at the, or when I stewarded at the Australian International Beer Awards, you know, like 10 years ago, you know, they were doing at the time around 2,000 beers, and they filled up just with waste beer about 1,000 litre IBCs of just waste beer.
Yep.
It was just a phenomenal amount of beer.
But you physically can't, you know, like, because your palate gets fatigued.
Yes.
There's all of those physical things that you have to take on as a judge. Trying to drink water to, you know, keep yourself hydrated, because you are drinking and you're sitting down, going through a lot. Like, it's a very mental, got these sheets.
And unlike wine judges, we have to swallow.
You got to swallow
it. You know, I've heard that it's a myth that the bitterness perception is past the point of no return, but I just find it, I've never attempted to spit a beer out. I feel like it's not doing the brewer any justice, that sort of thing. So I drink a very, very small amount.
It's a little less decorum, I think, than wine, because it'd be all foamy and everything.
Well,
you'd be
it's
like...
not as, yeah, not as, it just sounds gross to me. So you can judge up to sort of, we were doing around, at the Royal Queensland Beer Awards, we were doing about 50 beers a day. And so when we judge the beers in this particular competition, like most of the beer competitions in Australia, there's medals available. So there's gold medal, silver medal, bronze medal. Now, you would think that would mean first, second, third, but that's actually not what it means. So these competitions are run very much like wine competitions. So every beer is given a score out of 20. And So how the medal, so basically, you know, from 14 points up to 15 and a half is a bronze medal, 15 and a half to 17 is a silver medal, and 17 points and above is a gold medal. So what that actually means is that you can have more than one gold medal or none.
Yep.
More than one silver medal or none. More than one bronze medal or none.
Yep.
It's definitely not a first, second, third thing. But if a beer is awarded 17 points and above and it earns a gold medal, then that beer is brought out against all the other gold medal beers in that style, what we call a style category. So we have the best pale ale category, which has American style pale ale, hazy pale ale, international style, all the pale ale categories get grouped together. All the gold medals get reassessed. They're not re-judged because they've already got a gold medal. And the job of the judges in the trophy rounds is to rank them. And then there's a points, it's like a preferential voting system. At least five judges will judge a trophy round, and the beer with the high score wins that champion category,
a
champion pale ale or champion stout or something like that. So,
which then lead on to like these awards and
the
awards
these ones here are for the brewery, so best new brewery and champion brew pub.
Yeah, based on their points accumulation.
That's right. Yeah. So the medals that they won and that sort of
thing. Because these guys
they put 17
beers in. Got a medal for each.
It doesn't matter. It's only your top four beers in that for these trophies that sort of get you that trophy, but. Then we have champion trophies for, you know, best pale ale, best amber dark beer, best lager, best India pale ale, all that sort of stuff. And so the beers that win those style classes are truly the best of the best because they've been ranked amongst all of the gold medal winning beers and they were determined by the judges to be the best of the best.
Yeah. We've chatted to Matty from Moffat Beach who came up trumps at this awards with the trilogy. Once again,
West Coast IPA won the grand champion beer. Yes.
Yep. That sort of consistency.
Did he tell you how he makes his beer? Because I'd love to know.
No. Phil's got a theory.
Yeah. Right.
but I won't share it because it's not PC. As Phil says, it hasn't been proven to be not true either.
Okay.
So
you can tell me what he said off camera then.
I'll tell you. Yeah. But that, like Matty's beer, that trilogy is last year. The same beer.
That's correct.
One champion and. That beer alone is probably one of Australia's most awarded.
Moffat Beach Brewing Company is one of Australia's most awarded breweries. And I think between Trilogy Best Coast IPA and Moff Summer Ale, they're probably two of the most awarded beers
in
the country.
And that to do that, like people don't sometimes understand how difficult that is to do that because
it's very, very difficult.
Super rare.
Yes.
And what they're doing is super special.
Yeah, of course. I mean, for a beer or a brewery to win a gold medal consistently over consecutive years is extremely hard to do. And I think that speaks very highly about that brewery's commitment to continuous improvement, their commitment to consistency. Because you can get a gold medal, you know, and sometimes, you know, you might get the right judge panel and the beer might be made at the right time. And there's always this tiny little element of luck when it comes down to five human beings assessing a beer, you know. The judging is meant to be objective, not subjective. Our opinion doesn't matter.
We can't say, I really love this beer.
Exactly. You know, but from an objective perspective, for a brewer to make a beer that consistently wins a gold medal is extremely well done. In fact, at the Australian International Beer Awards, they have a consistency medal.
Yep.
If a beer wins a gold medal 3 years in a row, they get a special medal.
Yeah, wow.
That's a super, super, very, very rare. It's only been awarded once. I've seen.
So. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we talked before about like the judging, like how is it broken up? I know obviously, but like the scores, they're out of 20.
Yes, that's right.
And we don't we don't give points to the beer.
No, that's right. Yes. So when you give a score to a beer, it's really important that you know, when a beer is presented to a judge, that the judge assumes that beer is perfect. It starts at a 20 out of 20, okay? A beer should never earn its medal. Rather, it starts perfect and then points get deducted off until it lands at a particular level. And so the way that it works is that you'll have five judges on a panel. They will individually judge the beer and score the beer. They will write their own individual notes and they won't talk to each other.
Mm.
And then you have one person on the judging panel called the table captain. And the table captain's job is to coordinate all of the results, get all of the scores, get all of their feedback, and then massage that into feedback that's going to go back to the brewer and to come up with what's called a panel score.
Yep.
So that's where the judging panel has to reach a consensus as to what the actual score of this beer is going to be. And it often happens that one judge will think very highly of a beer, and another judge on the same panel, having drunk the same beer out of the same keg, for instance,
yep,
thinks that the beer is not that great at all.
And some people really will pick up compounds like sulfur or oxidation, others will be going, DMS or... Yep.
Correct. You know, your palate is as unique as your fingerprint, okay? And so sometimes there's some real robust conversations. I don't know if you were privy to any real robust conversations.
Oh, yeah, we were definitely had a few. Yeah, yeah.
Where one judge was arguing and another one just going, nah.
Some judges are up on a gold and you're on a dirty bronze.
Yep.
And you're like, did we have the same beer? Like,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And this also happens as well, is sometimes genuinely there is what's called a split panel. And so the table captain's job, you know, for example, I've judged beers before on a panel where three of the beers were okay and three of the beers were hazy, and you know they've come out of a separate can,
yeah,
or bottle, for instance. And so in that case, that's kind of like a stewarding error. And then we go to the stewards and we go, we think we have the same beer, but they're not looking the same. Please re-pour it. Because we have to make sure that the beer gets judged fairly.
Yeah, 100%. Right?
You know, the brewers paid good money to make sure that their beer gets a fair assessment.
Yep.
And that it's objective. And if you have, you know, the same beer that looks different across the table, it's not possible to give the same score. The same goes for the organoleptic characteristics as well. If there's a judge that picks up a major fault and, you know, another judge goes, no, this is a gold medal winning beer, chances are it could have come from a can. Because with the stewarding, usually it's two cans per panel, you know, per judging table. So sometimes it happens, you know, you might have that sketchy can of beer that didn't get purged properly, and it's, you know, two different standards of beer.
Managed to make it to a judge's table.
Exactly. And a good table captain has to remedy that situation to make sure that the beer on the table is consistent.
The flavors and off faults, right? Like, so some of them are pretty common, like diacetyl,
yes,
oxidation, DMS. But then also some of those are meant to be in some of those beers.
That's right, yeah.
As well. So
I don't like to call any of those compounds off flavors, because
they're sensory.
They're just characteristics.
Yeah.
You know, they're flavor compounds. They're not necessarily off flavors, because take diacetyl, for instance. So diacetyl smells and tastes like butterscotch. Okay?
Yep.
Now, in certain styles of beer, sometimes a Czech lager, a little bit of that butterscotch characteristic makes the beer, gives that perception that it's got some, you know, complexity in the malt character, and it's a desirable thing.
Mm.
Even English styles of beer, a little bit of diacetyl adds to the complexity of the beer. But if you give that to me an American style pale ale or an American IPA or a hazy pale ale, it's not supposed to be that at all.
Yeah.
You know, lagers are another good one. So there's a chemical compound called isoamyl acetate, which smells and tastes like banana lollies. And in Australian style lager, it's meant to be there. It's part of the style, because historically with that style of beer, we ferment those beers warm and they create that chemical compound.
Yeah, that yeast just gives that off.
It's a yeast-derived compound, exactly. But if I was going to be drinking a Munich Helles that's supposed to not have any fermentation characteristics whatsoever, it shouldn't be there.
Yep.
You know, so I know I said off flavors before. I messed up. They're just flavor compounds, that sort of thing. So you got an interesting one.
Oh, I did. Yeah. So
we can't talk about the specific beer because we don't know.
No.
Pick up one beer that had a very unique.
Yeah. Can I say what it was?
Yes, you can.
Yeah, it was Indol.
Indol. Yes. Which, you didn't know what that was.
I had no idea what it was, and that was where it was actually great that you were there because it was helpful because I was like, I know this is wrong, but I don't know what
it
is.
That's part
and
of
it. And I waved you down, and I remember because we were at the table because it's very quiet.
Yes.
So you can't be just yelling and yahooing and talking to your mates. You're concentrating because people, as you said, people have paid money to do this. You're concentrating on it.
Yes. It's very rare to get that. And we have to be very careful about what we say because it's so rare.
Mm.
I don't want to identify the beer where that
not at all. I remember I did all of the things to clear my senses before I went at it again. Like, smelling myself, I ate some cheese, I had a cracker, I sculled half a bottle of water, and I'm all right, let's give it a crack again. And I was like, nah, it's still there, I'm still getting it. And then I was like, Hendo, and you've come over, and I said, mate, this is what I think I'm getting, and I just want to make sure.
Yep.
And you went, whew, yep.
Nailed it.
And I was like, okay, good. So it's not
really
just
well
me. Because sometimes it can just be you.
You probably would never have come across that before. And so
I wouldn't have even think about it.
One of the most challenging things for when you're learning to be a judge or you're learning beer sensory and that sort of thing is the hardest part of the job is we eat and drink every day.
Mm.
Every day we eat and drink. We throw things down our gullet and we don't even think about it.
Yep.
Right? And the only thing that we think about is, do I like this or do I not like this? That's it.
Yeah.
We're very binary in how we eat and drink.
Yep.
But when you're doing sensory, you're doing beer judging, you've got to think about what flavors can I perceive, you know, what aromas can I perceive, and you've got to give them a name. And that's the hard part, is basically smelling a beer, having it go up into your brain goes, oh, I know what that is.
Mm.
And then the sticking point is like trying to find the word to make it come out of your mouth again or to be able to write it down again. And that's how I visualize the process when I'm judging, is like I sense things coming from my nose and my mouth. I visualize it going into my brain. A little light bulb goes off and goes, oh, hey, Hendo, that's diastole. You know that one, mate.
Yeah.
And then I go diastole, or I'll write down diastole and that sort
the
of thing.
The thing that I've found a lot is...
But for you, the difference there was you came across a compound, you recognized it.
Had no idea.
But you didn't know what it was called.
Yeah, but I just knew it shouldn't have been in there.
You knew it shouldn't have been there.
Mm.
And if you go and look up what Indol smells like, then you'll have a pretty good idea.
Yeah.
And
I think, though, as well, too, like what I've found with learning and judging is it's not so much like there's all of those tools around, like you said, the banana lollies before and the butterscotch and all those sort of things. But also it's a reminder, like what you smell as butterscotch might be different to me. It might be butterscotch. It might be butterscotch schnapps to me, which it is.
Yes.
Because I've worked in bars 25 years. I know butterscotch lost by the back of my hand.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whereas someone else I know at the tables every now and again, they go, oh, it's like a Werther's original. Oh my God.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That's very similar.
You totally
as
get
well.
That
yes,
as
yeah.
well.
Yeah, we tend to associate those things with foods and drinks that we're familiar with.
Yeah.
You know, like, isoamylacetate's a really good example. We say banana, but it's not
it's
the
not
fruit.
Banana
it's
at
banana
all.
Lollies, right? And that's what it is for me.
Yeah.
And it's like that artificial banana. And I'm pretty sure that isoamylacetate is not in a banana.
No, yeah.
Right? But because we grow up with banana lollies as kids,
we just know
someone who invented banana lollies said, oh, isoamylacetate.
That's the compound.
You know, but fuck, who knows if it is?
Yeah.
You know? It's so strange.
Yeah,
you know?
I find it really cool. Like like working with Charlie, I remember we used to have a few hops every now and again and beers, and we'd smell them, and he'd be like, I learned a lot of things from him about judging beers as well, and if he watches it, he'll like catch me on it, because I even messaged him. I was like, going, oh, this beer was well integrated, and he loves that phrase. And
yes.
But it works. It works when you're getting like a lot of different senses and aromas at the same time and flavors, and they are well integrated. Not one standing out and going,
well, that's
punching
the, and,
you in
and
the
that's
face.
The thing, right,
and,
is that
and
we
it
don't,
matches that style.
Correct. We don't arbitrarily give a beer a score out of 20 because we think that it's worth that many points. So there's a breakdown of points within the 20. So basically it's 3 points for appearance, 5 points for aroma, 6 points for flavor and body. Then it's 3 points for technical ability. So that's like how well executed the beer was, how well balanced the beer was, that sort of thing. And then there's 3 points for style, which is the adherence to the style guidelines and that sort of thing.
Yep.
And so how we work as judges is we go through that those different attributes and we deduct points from those various attributes. So it's possible for a beer to look amazing and get 3 out of 3.
Yep.
But to smell and taste not so great and not get a medal.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, it's really interesting.
You ever scored a 20 out of 20?
Twice.
Yeah.
In the sort of 9-10 years I've been judging now, I have given a 20 out of 20 twice. The most recent would have been the Ballistic Coup de Grace. I think it was the 2020.
Yeah, okay.
Made by the very, very talented Jake Harrison, who... He doesn't know I fanboy over him, but I do. he has a very unique talent. He's a very softly spoken brewer, and I really admire and respect what he does.
Yeah.
So he doesn't. He's not loud. He doesn't like. He's not like you and I. Shit and that sort of thing. He just gets in there, gets the job done, makes really good beer. He's particularly good with his strong beers and his barrel aged beers.
Yep.
And oh, that 200-day Pilsner that
that was great, wasn't it?
Called the Borealis.
Yep.
My God, that was my beer of the year last year.
Yeah, it was a cracker.
And so there's certain things that brewers can be good at. He knows what he's good at. Even when he went and made Dionysus, the oat cream IPA, the hazy IPA, and that sort of thing, that's not normally his jam.
No, he went back and learned how to do it.
And he was table captain as well at the Royal Queensland Beer Awards.
Yep.
And that was his first time being a table captain. And there's a lot of responsibility when you become table captain because you have to coordinate the service of the samples. With the stewards, you have to be guiding and leading a conversation. You have to be working out what the panel score and what the medals are going to be, and you have to work out what the feedback that's going to go back to the brewer is going to be.
And you can't be selfish and think that what you've scored
is the score.
You have to be able to interpret it all and read
your judges and to work out if what they're saying is valid. If more than one, if there's multiple people that are getting a characteristic that you're not, you step back. But there's always that table captain. Their job is to facilitate the conversation, to facilitate the right scoring, and most importantly, and the thing that we really pressed home with, and what I think sets the Royal Queensland Beer Awards apart from a lot of other competitions in Australia is Chris Sheehan and I, we strive really hard to make sure that the judges get meaningful feedback, because it's really common that judges will just write a few words and they don't write words that are meaningful to the brewer to be able to A, identify what's happened with their beer, and B, to be able to improve it.
Yep.
And I think and to fail in that regard from a judge's perspective is shit. It's a shitty thing to do. A lot of the judges are brewers. And, one of the things that I press home to you and all the other judges is whenever you write words around this, write what you would want to read if it was your beer.
Yeah.
Right? And that's really, really important. And I think that the feedback that we're giving in the Royal Queensland Beer Awards is some of the best in Australia.
Yep.
It's something that we continue to strive to improve. I think this year's been a major improvement, and we'll continue to put resources into, bringing new judges into the talent pool, but lifting the skills of the existing judges. There's this progression that you go from steward to associate judge to table captain to chairman of the judges. And we had, I think it was 5 of the 10 panels had we'd blooded 5 table captains this year. We had a whole bunch of new associate judges who'd stepped up from stewarding. We'd had associate judges become judges.
Yeah, that's what I was.
It was your first year being a full judge. Yeah, yep. You know, so we make sure that there's that progression, and you know, and whilst they progress, to make sure that the feedback that they give is meaningful and really well written. Particularly for the Royal Queensland Beer Awards, because one of the unique aspects of the Royal Queensland Beer Awards is that it's the first commercial beer competition in the calendar year.
Yep.
And it's pretty reasonably priced, and you can get some amazing feedback in your inbox, be able to take that feedback, make some improvements to your beer, and rebrew and
enter. I was using it this morning when I was inputting my Abers.
Yeah, exactly. Rebrew a fresh batch, make those improvements, and go on into the Australian International Beer Awards, which is in the end of April, early May, and that sort of thing.
Yeah, entries had to be in today.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what I was doing, and I changed the style on a couple of beers based on feedback, because feedback wasn't necessarily there was anything wrong with the beers, but it didn't match. Like, the feedback that I got was saying that beer had too much malt, a little bit too much aroma of my hops there, and I was like, oh well, that doesn't fit in that category.
Yeah, that's right.
Need to go put it somewhere else.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Sometimes it's that. Sometimes the judges will pick up something, you know, a characteristic that shouldn't be there, that the brewer needs to go and review process or recipe or that sort of thing, and make improvements to the beer. Mm. Lots of things can happen.
Yeah. Do you recommend someone who wants to get into judging to go and do stewarding first?
The only way you can become a judge is in order to be a judge in the commercial brewing competition, you have to start with stewarding. Look, to be honest,
I enjoy stewarding.
I love stewarding. You know, I haven't done it in a long
time. Because you get to taste all the beers. You don't have to.
That's the thing. So I've judged at the Australian International, or been involved in the Australian International Beer Awards since 2012, and I've judged 10 years. And even during the pandemic, where I risked being put into lockdown
stuck in Victoria.
Interstate travel restrictions, I'm like, I'm going. Yeah. I'll figure it out. And in that competition, they're trying to grow their judge talent pool. And I put in an expression of interest to be a judge again. And they put me on a rest year because they want to bring new judges in. Normally, I don't put in an expression of interest to be to go and judge in the Indies, because I get plenty of judge practice with the international travel that I do and that sort of thing. You know, I judge.
A beer or two.
Oh, you know, that's the really interesting thing about beer judging, right? Is that, you know, when, you know, you and I sitting here right now, I have two modes with how I consume beer. So I've got mindless drinking, which is you and I smashing pints at the bar and that sort of thing. And then there's the mindful drinking, which is where you've got to take your time and perceive what you're smelling and tasting. Yeah. And both are fun. Both are fun.
They've got their time, you know, and a place.
Hey, of course, you know, we're doing some mindless drinking now. You've run out of beer.
100%.
Both in my opinion are fun. I'm very lucky that I get to travel internationally to judge. I feel that I have a lot more progression to go as a judge. You know, for me, being the chairman of judges at the Royal Queensland Beer Awards is a massive step up for me and my skills development. Yep. There are a lot of challenges there. I had to make a lot of quick decisions to keep the competition running smoothly, ensure the integrity, make sure beers were assessed fairly, and all that sort of thing. It was a lot of fun. It was a hard 2 days, but it was really, really challenging and a lot of fun. I get to judge in, you know, international competitions. I'm off to Seoul, Korea next month to go and judge in the Korean International Beer Awards. I will most likely be in Japan in October to judge at the International Beer Cup in Hokkaido. My next progression is to become a judge at the World Beer Cup.
Yeah, cool.
And
yeah,
that's kind of like the pinnacle. Like, there's a couple of competitions that I aspire to judge in. So World Beer Cup is one. The European Beer Star is another. Yep. You know, I've been judging for 10 years now, and I'm still working hard to get to that level, you know.
The thing is, too, that it's also, you can't just keep going back and doing judging once a year. you've got to always evaluate yourself and keep practicing.
Well, that
and
whole
learning.
Thing around detecting something, coming up the word, and then having it come out of your mouth, that takes practice.
Yeah.
And you can't stop.
Yep.
And the real challenge is, and I'm sure this is happening to you now, is that when you're doing your mindless drinking, that the mindful drinking side of your brain creeps in, and like you're trying to smash a pint.
Yeah,
with your mates,
you're trying.
And then you go, fuck, there's a bit of diastole
there.
Yeah. I think I need to send this beer back.
Yeah.
Joel's going, yeah, I've seen Hendo do that.
Yeah, I've quietly done a pot plant pour, and we're like, huh.
Did you?
Yeah, every now and again. You don't want to. Depends on where you are. Like, I remember talking to Dan. Like, I've been here a couple of times. Like, when they first opened, and it was an old keg, but I didn't know that of one of the beers. And I had one, and I was like, "Oh no, this is bad." And I'm like, "Do I say something or do I not?"
You got to say something.
And I said, "Hey, Dan, man, I think this one might be oxidized, man." He goes, "What, really?" And I didn't feel bad. I was like, man, would you rather me not tell you? And he goes, no, definitely want you to tell me.
That's really important. Yeah.
And he poured it and he smelled it. He goes, yeah, you're right. And he goes, you know what? I know the fucking keg too, because I'd only half filled the keg we used it somewhere like for an event as well. It's just one of those things that just happens.
You've got to think about it from the perspective of a brewer whose profession it is. They want to do the job well. They want to make, no professional brewer I know wants to make shit beer.
No way. No.
They don't aspire to make shit beer. And one of the things that kind of happens is that when you're dealing with consumers, love them, they're an important part of the industry because they pay us, but they don't have a trained palate.
Yeah, they don't have a knowledge base to come from.
And so a lot of the feedback that a punter will give will be based on opinion. I like that. I don't like that. Right. Whereas, and it's also very emotional as well. Whereas, you know, for me to give an assessment about a beer in a judging setting, it's objective.
Yeah.
I don't feel anything for the beer. I'm not passionate about the beer. I'm just using my senses, and I become like an instrument.
Yep.
You know, as the same as like your density meter, or your pH meter, and that sort of thing. And so, the really important thing is that brewers can't get better unless they're given feedback as to how their beer is doing.
Yep.
Right. We don't learn lessons in life from our wins. We learn lessons in life from our mistakes.
Yep.
And so that's why, you know, I'm not afraid to give a brewer like Dan or something some constructive feedback about what I think of the beer.
Yep.
You know? He doesn't take it personally because he's a professional. He values the feedback.
100%.
You know.
Yep.
And he wants more feedback.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
Because he wants to do better.
That's why he enters the competition.
And so, you know, if I'm out drinking, you know, even in a casual setting, if I get something and I'm hanging with the brewer and that sort of thing, then yes, I'll give that feedback. And I'll do it. If it's negative feedback, I'll do it privately.
Yeah, you
I'm not going to jump on
the hell
like
is
Instagram
this?
And go, check out the diastole of this beer. Not cool, but
no.
Private feedback is totally reasonable and acceptable and welcome, you know, amongst professionals.
Mm.
If you find a professional brewer who won't take constructive feedback from a fellow professional or someone who's trained in sensory, then they've got issues and there's something else going on there, you know.
Yep.
But every brewer wants to make better beer.
Yeah. I reckon that's a great note to end it on for two reasons. One, because
you've run out of beer.
I've run out of beer.
I'm going to run out of beer.
Yeah.
Watch this.
And so is Joel.
So in the Australian International Beer Awards, over 10 years ago when I first entered, because they keep the database rolling from year to year to year, you got to put your name in and that sort of thing. And one of the things is like, you know, you've got your prefix, so it's Mr., Mrs.,
yep.
Miss, Doctor, you know, all that sort of thing. And I'm a Mr. And it was like, you know, Steve Hendo Henderson. But there was a postfix. And one of the things was Esquire. And I went, shit, that sounds cool. So I put Esquire in my name. And all of the mail's official letters, you know, I won the bloody Gary Shepherd trophy in 2017 or 2018 or something like that. And that had Steve Hendo Henderson Esquire on it. It's still there. I'm not getting rid of it. I don't even know what Esquire means.
You probably own
it's
land titles.
It's like Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Yeah, yeah. It's just so dumb.
That's great. Yeah. I love it.
do a, like a, yeah, the official wrap up now. So like, oh, thanks for running us through, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, okay. Yep.
I know there was still one before, but now, no, it's like,
yeah. You can splice it.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's right. A good one for the shorts, I think.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, 100%.
This is all useful content.
All right, man, well, we're out of beer. Thanks so much for chatting to us all about the judging stuff, how it works. I love judging, as you know, and so do you.
Mate, you've done a great job judging, and I'm really grateful for your participation. And anything I can do to help you progress that, let me know. And
be
and
my reference for the IBAs.
Yeah, thanks for
asking. The Indies.
Yeah. And good on you, mate. Love
it. Legend. Thanks man.